Good evening. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 36 from your hardbacked hymnal, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Number 36. Let's all stand together.
Kill. His truth abideth still. Fear not them who can kill the body, but fear him rather who has the power to cast both body and soul into hell. And that's who we fear. We've come here to fear him, to worship him, to bow in his presence and ask him for his blessings. Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 31, please? Psalm 31. And that's our text for the message. So let's read Psalm 32 for our call to worship. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Let me ask you, can you think of a better blessing than that? There is no better blessing. People talk about being blessed of God. They're always referring to temporal things, aren't they? There's no blessing like the blessing of having our sins forgiven. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Well, we know who that man is, don't we? And that's how we have our sins forgiven. And in him, we speak the truth about ourselves. We speak the truth about God. Having a mouth filled with guile is to be telling lies about God. God's people don't do that. Verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Thy moisture, my moisture, is turned into the drought of summer. Would our Lord say from the cross, I thirst. I thirst. I acknowledge my sin. I'm just so encouraged to know that when the Lord bore in his body our sin, when God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that he owned our sin as his own. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And John said, whosoever confess his sin before God. That word confess is to agree with God that we're sinners. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. The Lord mayest be found right now. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we pray for you to be pleased in this hour to send your Holy Spirit in power and to confirm to our hearts that our transgressions have been forgiven, that our iniquity has been taken away, or that we have received of you a double blessing, the blessing of righteousness, justification, sanctification, holiness in the person of our Savior, thy dear Son. Oh, Father, how we pray that you would enable us to set our affections on him. We pray that you would open the windows of heaven, that you would cause us, Lord, in this moment of time to find our rest, our hope, our peace, our comfort, and all our salvation in thy blessed Son and his accomplished work of redemption. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand together once again. We'll sing hymn number 452, which is My Savior's Love. 452.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me again, please, to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. I've titled this message, Perfect Faith. Perfect Faith. All the sayings that are recorded in the scriptures that our Lord spoke from the cross, all seven of them, were Old Testament passages of scripture. As was true of everything the Lord ever thought, he gloried in the Word of God. The last word that our Lord spoke from Calvary's cross is found in Psalm 31. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's the very last thing he said. And what that tells us is that the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to believe his Father to his dying breath. He's the faithful one. Now we know that it is by grace that we're saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gives his people faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have perfect faith in that we believe perfectly that he is perfect. We have, you remember what we looked Sunday morning on 1 John chapter 5. Turn with me back to that passage. I realized after I finished preaching Sunday that I never got to verse 5. I never got to verse 5. We went to Mark chapter 8. You remember when the disciples, when the Lord asked the disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's our confession of faith. And oh, how we do believe that he is the Christ. He is the Christ. When Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, after he asked, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, with all thine heart." What did the Ethiopian say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Oh, I do believe that. That's my faith. That's my confession. That's my hope. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." That's the confession of our faith. We believe that he came as the Christ, that he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that he accomplished everything that the Father sent him to do, that he was faithful and obedient to the Father in everything he did, every thought he had, every word he spoke, every step he took. He was the perfect faithful one. And he gives us the faith to believe on him as the one who has pleased the Father. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He just believed God. Now, there's a difference between having faith and being faithful. Okay? Saving faith is believing on the one who was faithful. That's what saving faith is. We're resting all our hope in his faithfulness. Michael and I were talking about a verse of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 20. Turn with me there in your Bibles this morning, or this evening. We were talking this morning about this verse. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 6. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." That's most men. All the unrighteous believe themselves to be righteous. Most men will proclaim their own goodness before God. They will present their righteousness before God for the hope of their salvation. But a faithful man, who can find? Who can find a man that is faithful? A man who truly is perfectly righteous in the sight of God. David said, "I will speak of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God." And faith believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly righteous in the presence of a holy God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want us to look at several verses in the New Testament before we get to our text in Psalm 31. Will you turn with me to Galatians chapter 2? Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." We're not going to present our goodness. We're not going to try to atone for our sins. We're not going to put the hope of our salvation in our righteousness. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." If we're going to do the works of the law, we've got to keep the whole law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. So there's our perfect faith, believing on the one who satisfied all the demands of God's law. "But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who justified us by his faithfulness. And we believe perfectly in that. We have no other hope, no other claim. Not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now look at chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's his faithfulness, it works in us, causing us to will and to do of his good pleasure, causing us to look upon him. I live by the faith of the Son of God. He is my life. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin. Paul said, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Everything about me is sinful. There's no hope of my salvation if God's looking to me for anything. The scripture hath concluded all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. So we do believe on the one who was faithful. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Everything I've done was faithful to you. And I'm trusting you to reward me for my faithfulness. Who shall stand in the presence of God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who's that? We've got to be found in him, don't we? Not having our own righteousness, which is of the law. Turn to me to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access by the faith of him. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find help and grace in your time of need. We come boldly. We come with confidence. Where is our confidence? Where is our confidence? Is it in ourselves? I'm telling you, the older I get, the less confident I become. I mean, I'm much less confident now than I've ever been in my whole life. I question myself more now than I ever have before. If I have to come before God based on my confidence, But I am confident. I am confident that he is faithful. I'm completely confident that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who in his dying breath said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Paul put it like this when he was writing Timothy. He said, if we believe not, in other words, we have an unfaithful way about ourselves. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So, the body of Christ is part of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot deny himself. And when we are unfaithful, he's faithful, and he cannot deny himself. The confidence, the boldness that we have is in his perfect faithfulness. And our perfect faith rests in his perfect faithfulness. And yet, like that man who came to the Lord and said, Lord, I do believe. Oh, help thou mine unbelief. There's the two natures. The new man can't do anything but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man, he's never believed anything. What that man was saying was, Lord, I thank you that you've given me a heart, a new heart to believe on you. But I've got this old flesh I need help with. Help me. Todd, I talked to Todd Niver today, and he was telling me he got an email from somebody, and they accused him of being, of preaching sinless perfection and being an antinomian. And he said that in the same sentence. Sinless perfection and antinomian. That's what he accused him of. You believe in sinless perfection and antinomianism. And I told Todd, I said, well, I can certainly see how an unbeliever would hear our preaching. And when we talk about the new man, they would think we believe ourselves to be sinlessly perfect, which we are in Christ. And when we talk about the old man, they would interpret that as to believe that we're antinomian, we're lawless, we're you know, we have no desire to. Oh, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, help my old man. Restrain him. Our faith is in the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not putting our faith in our faithfulness, and we're not putting our faith in our faith. You see, it's not the degree of faith, it's the object of our faith. It's the object of our faith. Who do we believe? Whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Oh, wait a minute. Before you do that, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Our faith is in the faithful one. He's perfectly faithful to satisfy all the demands of God on behalf of his people. We rest our hope in him. Finally, turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. There's no difference. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed the promises of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all God's promises. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe that his faithfulness is sufficient for our righteousness before God. All right? Turn with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And we don't have to be reminded again that these are the words of Christ. You know, I've been thinking a lot about, I had an uncle when I was a kid. I was a daydreamer a lot, I guess, because he would always say to me, he said, penny for your thoughts. I never knew what he meant. Now I know that my thoughts weren't even worth a penny. But, you know, we talk to ourselves a lot in our minds, don't we? We have a lot of thoughts, don't we? And the scripture says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, and that continually. Psalm 94, verse 11 says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. That they are vanity. We have very few of the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in the New Testament in terms of what he said. John put it like this. John said, if all the things that the Lord had done were recorded, the books, the world would not contain the books that would be necessary to record all the things. And part of what he's talking about there is the Lord's thoughts. The Lord Jesus Christ was in constant fellowship with his Father every moment of every day. He was thinking the Word of God all the time. He's not like us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful in his thoughts towards the Father. He didn't look at something and try to have to figure it out like we do. He didn't have vain thoughts about this and that. I'm not talking about just the evil thoughts that we have, and we have plenty of those. I'm talking about just the vanity of our thoughts. David put it like this: when I stood in his presence, I was as a beast. A beast. Daniel said, my comeliness was turned into corruption. Well, woe is me, Isaiah. I'm undone. We talk a lot about the things that the Lord did and the things that the Lord said and how important those things are. But I want you to think with me for a moment about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. God the Father was looking into the heart of his Son all the time, and God the Son was in fellowship with the Father all the time. And even when the sky was blackened during those 3 hours on the cross, when God forsook his Son because his Son became sin, even then, the Lord Jesus Christ's thoughts were on his Father. Here's the truth. You and I have never been able to have a holy thought. And he had nothing but holy thoughts. All the time. All the time. Now, whose faithfulness do you want to depend upon? He was faithful. He's faithful in what he did. He was faithful in what he said. He was faithful in what he thought. All of his thoughts, all the time, were holy thoughts. And these Psalms express that. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me to be put ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. Here's the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father. Now, these words aren't recorded audibly. Verse 5 is recorded. But this is all in the context of verse 5. What was the Lord Jesus Christ thinking about while he was on the cross? When he wasn't speaking. These are the words that he was rehearsing in his heart towards the Father. Father, be my strong. Be my strength. Be my rock. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. Oh, they tried to entrap him, didn't they? They tried to, foolish men, trying to catch God. And they laid a net for him. They thought that they were controlling the circumstances of his crucifixion. They didn't know that he was the one in charge of all of that. And through it all, he's saying, thou art my strength. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Father, I'm going to believe you to my dying breath. I'm going to be faithful to trust you to keep your promises. For thou hast redeemed me. The Lord Jesus Christ believed that the redemption of his body from the grave had already been accomplished. The covenant promise had been made. Father, I'm going to commit my spirit unto you, for thou hast redeemed me. You've, You've made a promise to redeem me, and I've made a promise to be faithful to you. And we're both going to keep our promises. For thou art the Lord God of truth. Truth. Oh, our Lord was so free, wasn't he? He was free in his death. You know the truth. Truth sets you free. He truthfully believed God for all the truth and was confident. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Now, we don't always hate those who have lying vanities. Not with a perfect hatred, do we? Oh, but he did. He did. And he trusted his Father. Perfect faith. Whose faith are you trusting in? Is your faith in his faithfulness? I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Father, I know you see me. You see me exactly where I am. And I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad. Thou hast shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Oh, what a large room the room of redemption is. What a large room the room of heaven is. And that's where God has set our feet. That's the Lord Jesus Christ is confident on the cross while he's dying. These are the thoughts that he's having. These are the words that he's expressing to his Father without verbalizing them audibly for us to hear except for the one. Father, I'm confident that you're going to raise me from the dead. And I'm confident that you're going to reward me for what I've done, for I've been faithful. What is his reward? What is his reward? Not just his resurrection, not just his ascension, not just his rightful place back in glory, but his bride, isn't it? That's his reward. That's what he came to do. He came to save his people. And he was confident that the Father would reward him with a bride. He paid the full dowry price for that bride, didn't he? His precious blood. And he was confident that the Father was going to give him his bride. Are we confident in him? Not confident in ourselves. Not confident in ourselves. The more you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more of your own sin you're going to see, the less confident you're going to become in yourself. But the more confident you can become in him. You see, we really don't become confident in him until we lose the confidence of our own selves, do we? As long as we have some confidence in ourselves, then we don't need him. Have mercy upon me, verse 9, O Lord, for I am in trouble. I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Oh, that God would give us the grace to cry out to him. You see, we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? What confidence we have when there's a strong man who is completely able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. What confidence we have. And we can say also, Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity. Now, we remember what iniquity is, don't we? He's not, Lord, I can't measure up. That's what iniquity is. An inability to measure up. That means all of my goodness, all of my righteousnesses, as David said, are as filthy rags. That's iniquity. The Lord is taking our iniquity on himself and making it his own, owning our sin and our iniquity as his own. And he says, my bones are consumed. They burned within him. Not one of them was broken. That sacrifice went wholly to God. But he felt the fire of God's wrath for the iniquity of his people. I was a reproach among all my enemies. They mocked me. They said, if you be the Son of God, come down. He saved others. He can't save himself. You know, the Roman soldiers put a veil over his face and beat him and said, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. And here's his words. I was reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. It wasn't just the Romans, but it was the children of Israel. The people that I called and I blessed and I anointed as the people of God, they have turned against me. And a fear to my acquaintances. Now that's his disciples. That's his friends. What did they do? What did they do when those Roman soldiers showed up with the priest at the Garden of Gethsemane? And Peter took off the ear, thinking he'd be brave. And the Lord restored the ear of that man. When they arrested the Lord, what did the disciples do? They scattered, didn't they? They were scared to death. They're going to kill us all. And here our Lord saying, I was reproached among my enemies, among my neighbors. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times, you that stoneth the prophets, how many times I would have taken you as a hen takes in her chicks, and you would not. Our Lord was grieved over their unbelief and their hatred towards him. And brokenhearted. Yeah, this is all ordained of God. Remember, David wrote these words 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. 1,000 years before his incarnation. And a fear to mine acquaintances, they that did see me without fled from me. Oh, they fled. They ran for their lives. They hid out. Thinking. And then even after the crucifixion, what did they do? They huddled in the upper room and they never had boldness till the Spirit of God came. And they cast all caution to the wind, didn't they? They went out and preached the gospel. No, they were threatened with their very lives. What did they say to the Sanhedrin? You decide for yourself whether we should obey God or whether we should obey man. But it's for us. We're going to obey God. The Lord has sent us to preach the gospel. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. What did those disciples on the road to Emmaus say? Have you not heard? Now they're speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ who's walking with them. And he said, what's wrong with you guys? What's that? Why are you so downcast? Have you not heard? The one that we thought was a prophet, was the prophet, has been crucified. He's gone. He's a dead man. We've lost all hope. There's no hope of salvation. And beginning with Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, he began to expound unto them those things concerning himself. And when they got to Emmaus, what happened? He acted as if he would go on. Well, there's a message in that, isn't there? The Lord's not going to enter anybody's house that doesn't ask him, oh, Lord, come into my house. And he acted as if he would go on. And the disciples pleaded with him to stay and eat with them and spend the night with them. And as in the breaking of bread, their eyes were open. And what did they? And then he disappeared. And he went back to meet with the disciples who thought he was dead. They all thought he was dead. Oh, did not our hearts burn within us as he spake with us along the way? That our hearts would burn within us. Yes, he died, and he said, I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me, and they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Lord, this was all the plan. This was the ordained purpose. Everything that's happening to me is exactly how we purposed it. Exactly how we planned it. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Brothers and sisters, our time is in his hands also, isn't it? All the events of this life are in his hands. And there is an appointed time in his hands for us to leave this world. It is appointed unto man once to die. And it was appointed unto the man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And the man has gone before. And he's presented himself, the faithful one, the faithful servant of God. And God judged him righteous. Righteous. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Those who know nothing about having faith in the Lord, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person leaves this world without the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have been better had they never been born. Let me not be ashamed. And we have no reason to be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We're not ashamed. We rejoice in being able to. We're not ashamed before God. We have an advocate. Verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Everyone who claims to have some claim on God outside of Christ is lying, presumptuous, contemptuous. And they're speaking against the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one. Any man who presents any righteousness outside of Christ for his acceptance with God is speaking contemptuously against the Lord Jesus Christ, robbing him of his glory and salvation. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. What is the hope of our? Who is the hope of our salvation? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded of it. I'm not persuaded of much. I don't. You see, the more doubtful I become about myself, the more confident we become in him, isn't it? Verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Now that word strong is the word fenced. It's a walled city. It's the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. And those walls are walls of protection. And the Lord hides us in that city and shows us his marvelous kindness in the church, isn't it? Oh, how kind he is, how good he's been to us, how undeserving we are of his word, of his faithfulness, of his mercies and his grace, his love. But they're still part of his faithfulness, isn't it? Not only was he faithful in his very thoughts before his Father the whole time he was here. He never had a vain thought. He never sat around daydreaming. He didn't think like we think. Holy, perfect fellowship. That's the frustrating thing that we experience as believers. That we want to enter into that experience and we can't. We can't. And we're not going to be able to until we shed this flesh. And then we'll see him as he is and be made like him. We're going to have a holy thought. We're going to have holy thoughts for all eternity. We're not going to have evil thoughts. Nothing's going to abide in heaven except righteousness. That's what Scripture says. Our thoughts are going to be perfect and pure and holy for all eternity. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be. Rid our minds of all this foolishness. Just foolishness, isn't it? And he had them all the time. And he shows kindness. Part of his faithfulness is not just the fact that he was faithful to the Father in keeping the law. In heart and soul he kept the law. But he's faithful in redeeming his people. He's faithful in making his marvelous love known to us. And he's going to be faithful in not leaving one of his children behind. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Now that's what the Lord said when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, why have you cut me off? Why have you cut me off? Why have you forsaken me? Now the Lord was fulfilling prophecy when he said that. And here's one of the places where that I said in my haste, why hast thou cut me off? Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. The Father heard that prayer and he answered it. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifulleth rewardeth the proud doer. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, doesn't he? Faith is humbly trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for all your faithfulness before God. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. How powerful is the emotion of fear. I mean, everybody's got a way of covering it up, don't they? All of us have figured out a way to cover up our fears. And I was talking to somebody today, and I said, you know, one of the most fearful groups of people in the whole world are comedians. They are. I mean, how many comedians? You know, they commit suicide. What are they doing? They're covering up their fear. And we all have a way of doing that, don't we? And the Lord says, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. I love you. I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts of good, not of evil. They bring you to your expected end. I came to my expected end, and I'm going to be faithful to make sure you get to your expected end. And the only thing that's going to cure your fears. See, what's the flip side to the coin of fear? What's the opposite on the spectrum of fear? faith. It's not covering up your fears. It's not pretending like you don't have fears. It's having those fears drive you to Christ and resting the hope of your salvation completely on Him. And so he says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We have a Savior that was perfectly faithful to His Father. To His dying breath, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And we know that we have faith when we've been brought to believe that we don't have any faithfulness. All the hope of my salvation is in Him. But I believe that He is the Son of God. More than anything else, with all my heart, whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ. This is He that overcometh the world, even our faith. And they that have faith confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the faithful one. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for Your Word. And, oh Lord, we pray that You would speak truth and comfort and peace to our hearts beyond what any audible words can say. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Tom? 30. Number 30 in the Spiral Hymnal. Number 30.
Shall